is the Coca-Cola Cool Down. Joe Healy, Damon Lowry and Liam Santamaria with you. And guys, we do need to cool down because that was seriously hot out there tonight.
I'm not joking. I was actually sweating. I felt like I was actually on the floor. That game had everything. Every single playoff game we've had so far has given us so many highs and lows. Teams are playing like their basketball lives depend on it, exactly how it should be. And, we're just better for it.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable night. The atmosphere here at my State Bank Arena was, I mean, I don't think I'll ever forget it. I mean, that was just unbelievable. The fans here, every single one of them knew that their season was well and truly on the line, and they rode every play like that. And it was a war off the floor in the way they supported their team. It was well and truly a war on the floor as well. And the ebbs and the flows and the grit and the grind from Tassie to fight back from a double-digit deficit early on to get that win.
And there were different times in the game where different players stepped up. The momentum was shifting. We were talking about it on air. Milton Doyle, the first three quarters was incredible. And then it was the Aussie guys that stepped up in the fourth.
And it was actually Jack McVay that probably got it all started early when it was just kind of teetering. It was a double-digit deficit, and Jack McVay went to the crowd. He gets a three-point play, just a couple little things just to kind of stem the tide a little bit until Milton Doyle showed up, until Majuk Dang comes off the bench, and he was huge. And we can talk about Sean McDonald, too. I mean, we can talk about these guys all day. But it's the collective Jackie way how they get down, which is the most impressive for me.
You know, it was Jordan Crawford that was struggling a little bit. Others stepped up while they needed to. Milton Doyle's third quarter, 15 points in the third term. It looked like maybe it was going to get away from them. They were trailing, as we said, double digits early, down by five at halftime, and they needed that from Doyle. They needed to see their star in that third quarter, and I think everyone puffed their chest out when they saw that Doyle was doing that. And then you're right, Majuk Dang, 18 points off the bench, and it wasn't just the scoring either. He played tough at both ends, came out with big plays on the offensive glass, at the defensive end, and for a guy who's barely played for a long time to step in the absence of Marcus Lee, he played about 7 minutes in the center spot tonight. Majuk Dang, very impressive.
We were talking about it on the way in, Damon. You called it that Deng would have a big game. But Tassie, their back's against the wall. They've been in this position before, as we said, down 1-0 in a series. How do they keep doing it?
They have a, I don't even want to use the word culture because it's too overly used. They have a way. It's the Jackie way. This is what they do. They don't care. They go, we are going to go out in a blaze of glory in full defense of this island. Like this crowd right here, just to see how people turn up and how they act. You can't play less than what they're giving you. And that's what they do. They don't quit on anything. Every single player, Scott Ross could sub in anybody he wants. They're going to hit the floor and play the right kind of a way. Whether a shot's made or not, they don't let that influence how they play. And they just wore down the Perth Wildcats. They just kind of grinded them into a fine little powder in stretches that did enough just to get them to win.
And a huge example of that, I think, was Sean McDonald and the job he did in that fourth quarter. Now, he had a lot of help because every time Bryce Cotton came off a dribble handoff or a ball screen, they doubled him and they got the ball out of his hands. But his job was to stay attached, to get back in front, to make his catches hard, to make sure he was with him in transition because we know Bryce is so dangerous in those situations. So for the four-time MVP, the seven-time scoring champion, to have 2 points in the fourth quarter of a game you have to win when he's got 24 at three-quarter time, it's a sensational effort at the defensive end.
We'll get to the Wildcats in just a second, but first of all, I've got to ask, if you're Clint Seidel, are you blocking Joey Montagna for life for missing those two free throws? He hasn't missed a free throw in 2 years.
Clint Steindl was minding his own business. John Casey alerted Australia to the fact that he's the greatest free throw shooter we've ever seen. And then Joey goes over there and puts the Mars on him. But Clint was great in his minutes. You know what you're going to get from him. And he was one of the first recruits that Scott Roth brought over here. He know what his leadership is like. It's quiet. It's subtle. But he goes out there on the floor. And anytime he shoots the ball, anytime the ball, Liam, leaves his hands, don't you feel like it's going in?
Yeah, and that play was at the end of the second quarter when Jordan Usher overhelped off Steindl. John really saw it land in Steindl's hands and he just turned around and started walking to the sheds because he knew that thing was down.
All right, let's talk about the Wildcats. We'll begin with Bryce Cotton, obviously the superstar of the team. Not his best night, or not his best fourth quarter, I should say, but do you have any concerns that we won't see playoff Bryce in game three?
Not at all. The guy's an out-and-out superstar. But the thing is, like, they had it, right? They didn't want to go back to Perth. Like, if you can close it out, absolutely. But the way the Jack Jumpers defended Bryce late, his teammates didn't do what they did in the first half. They were aggressive, Liam. Anytime they took the ball out of Bryce's hands, they was attacking closeouts. They was getting downhill, putting pressure on the rim. They went a little bit tentative late in the game. Maybe they was already thinking it was, I don't know, kind of over, or who knows what was going through their head. But it affected Bryce to the point that, like you said, 2 points in the last quarter. Now, they go back to Perth. Some of those calls they didn't get right now, they're going to get some of those. It's called home cooking. And we can talk about it all we want, but it exists.
Sure. It's the supporting cast for me. Bryce is always going to be Bryce. Now, he didn't have 20 or 30 in game one. He had 15, but everyone, the defense is trying to get the ball out of his hands. Others have got to step up and make plays. And Keanu Pinder, Ty Webster, those guys made shots and made plays in game one, and it got him over the line. In this one, not so much. Now, Doolittle was good early, but late in the game, when Tassie was getting out of Bryce's hands, they dried up. And, you know, they shoot 20% from three. Outside of Bryce, they were 2 for 16. From beyond the arc. So they need others to step up. And the other big one, of course, is what's the situation with Keanu Pinder?
Anyone's guess is anyone's guess right now. I mean, I spoke to the medical staff during the game, as I said in the broadcast, that it wasn't concussion protocols by a long stretch, but there was something wrong. Damon, you sort of seem to think that's just Keanu's way.
I mean, Keanu has a resting face. Sometimes his resting face is like this. So that's what I mean. And sometimes we might overreact and think, because he subbed himself right back in. Actually, he started the third quarter, missed three shots in a row. He didn't hesitate on any of them. He was making those shots in game one. He just missed the shots. And some of them might have been rushed. Some of them might have been maybe ill-advised and really subbed him out. Now, when a player gets subbed out in a game like this, they're not happy. So what do you think his face is going to look like when he's sitting on the bench?
Yeah, but, I mean, you saw what we saw, right? The moment when he looked like he wasn't quite right, he sat back down on the floor. Then he came out. If everything was perfectly fine, why was he sitting at the end of the bench surrounded by the medical staff, not on the bench with his teammates? And then I just felt from that point on, when he came back in, he wasn't his usual self, which is an impact guy out there on the floor. So I picked up fouls and he ended up fouling out. My spotty senses were tinkling. There was something going on with Keanu Pinder tonight.
So the Wildcats take the loss, but what were the positives? Because there certainly were some for the Wildcats. I thought Alex Saar, for example, had a pretty decent performance out there.
Alex Saar was great for him. Now, the whole year he might have been averaging 12 or 13 minutes a game, and Alex Saar affects so much, even if it's not on the stat sheet. The times that people would think about shooting and then change their mind because Saar is there. Now, he got gas later on, so he kind of was coming in and out, but they can take that out of it. Hiram Harris, I thought, was good early. He was that when he's aggressive, but none of these guys can afford to be tentative. And I just feel like defensively they let themselves down, and I think that's all correctable kind of stuff when they go back home.
Let's talk about the stat sheet, though, with Alexander Saar. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 blocks, 3 assists. Now, while Pinder was spending time on the sidelines, they needed him to come in and play good minutes, and he provided for him.
He had a couple of open looks, potentially, that sort of watching on, you're urging him. You're like, Alex, come on, shoot that. You got that. Where does that confidence or license come from?
It's hard to turn it on in a semifinal game. He's played 28 regular season games, and he hasn't been really taking out those shots. It's not like it's in him, like on autopilot. If you have to convince somebody to do it, it's not really natural. Now, if he'd been playing like us 25 minutes a season and taking a lot of those shots, we'd expect him to do that. But here, his default would be to look for Bryce. But like to say today, the way the Jack Jumpers defended Bryce, it was up to him to go to work. And that's why I like the substitution of putting Corey Webster in the game. Because Corey has scoring DNA. Now, he had a couple shots, and then he got subbed out late, didn't get back in. But I think Johnny might need to go to Corey more in game three.
Yeah, for me, with Alexander Saar, you got to step in and shoot those with confidence. He does have that shot. You remember the game earlier in the year against Adelaide at RAC Arena, bang, bang, late, and he iced the game. They need him in these moments to step. They need everyone, like Pinder did in game one, like Webster did in the corner in the end of game one. They need everyone to step in and shoot those things with confidence and start to knock them down again.
So we're in Perth for game three on Wednesday. Damon, what are your keys to that game?
Jack Jumpers, for the Jack Jumpers point of view, they're going to have to control the controllables. They're going to have to take the crowd out of it, get off to a good start defensively, just like what Perth did to them today. In the first quarter, they kept the scores low. Jack Jumpers was on like 6 points for quite a while. They caused turnovers. They had about 6 or 7 steals in the first half. So going home, everything feels a little bit more comfortable, right? So, but you got to get off to a good start defensively, because if the Jack Jumpers go there and feel comfortable, that's what you don't want you in for a long game.
Yeah, for Perth, for me, they got to push the tempo. That starts, as you say, at the defensive end. So can you sit down and guard, force tough shots, clean the defensive glass, and then go? That's how you're going to get Bryce Cotton rolling. That's how you're going to get that RAC Arena crowd involved. Tonight's game ended up slowing down to the Jack Jumpers' favour.
Very quickly, who wins it?
I can't go past the Jack Jumpers in an upset. Is it even an upset? I just like the way they go about it. I just think they can get it done.
I feel the same way. Marcus Lee's going to come back in. I picked the Jackies for this series from the outset. And look, it's going to be tough. No one has won on the road yet in this semi-final series on either side of the draw. I think the Jackies are just so tough and so solid, and I think they're going to get their way through.
Well, that is, of course, the second game on Wednesday night. The first one, Melbourne United hosting the Hawks. Just a word on that series, because that also, I mean, they've both been played incredibly well, but they've been very different series at the same time.
Back-to-back overtime games. That in itself is amazing. But the way both teams that lost, the way they lost, the Hawks had game one, blew it. United are up and got that game underhand in control in Wollongong and lose it. So it's like, well, who can come down the stretch and really execute? And I feel like the way the Illawarra Hawks' whole season is going, it's a sports movie. It's a documentary. It's a 30 for 30 on SportsCenter, the way this team went from the start of the year to where they are right now. Mm. It's hard to go against that, even though they're the United, and they're going to be tough at home. But I just feel like that intangible thing that you can't put your finger on, Liam, I feel like that's going the way of the Hawk.
Yeah, my heart says the Hawks for all those types of reasons, of course. That just like the Jack Jumpers in their first year, no one expected anything. They were the Cinderella story of that season. They got through to the championship series. There's something about this run from the Hawks under Justin Tatum that feels like that. But my head says Melbourne United. They've been on the top of the table all year long. They haven't lost two in a row at any stage. So is that going to happen for them to get eliminated on their home floor? I don't see it happening.
Either way, the NBA will be very happy with this scenario right now. 2 game 3s on Wednesday night. We cannot wait for it. This has been your Coca-Cola cool down, and we'll be back to review both of those on Wednesday.